Thank you to the Konigsbergs for hosting us tonight, opening up your homes, and putting out this nice spread. And of course, thank you to Bageltown, who is always graciously sponsoring very generously a plate of cakes for us. I wanted to first clarify one mistake I made last week. It wasn't a major mistake, but it was a little bit of a mistake, and I felt terribly about it, so I wanted to start first by mentioning it. When we were discussing last week the Gemara in Pesachim, which is when the guy was on the road and we said he has to travel 4 mil forward and 1 mil backwards for a minyan, so the measurements, the times were off. 1 mil, traveling 1 mil is 18 minutes. Traveling 4 mil is 4 times 18, so it's 72 minutes. So when, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva regarding from your house, whether you have to travel, how far you have to travel from your house, he says that we're not going to make you travel more than 1 mil, not 4 mil, which is what I said last week, but more than 1 mil, which means it's the same amount of time, 18 minutes, as I presented it last week, but I just had the measurements off. 1 mil is 18 minutes of time. 4 mil is 72 minutes. The reason why the Gemara says that if you're traveling and 4 mil ahead of you is a minyan, you should continue traveling 4 mil, is because you're going that way anyway. So if you're going that way anyway, we say, you know, just keep traveling a little bit extra. But you see that to go backwards, we're only going to require, the Gemara only requires you to go backwards 1 mil, which is the equivalent of 18 minutes. So forwards, you'd have to travel 72 minutes to get to that minyan, and backwards, you have to go 18 minutes. With Moshe Feinstein, his tshuva, he talks about, so what about when you're home? He says, we only go with the smaller shear, the smaller amount, so if you have to travel at least 18 minutes to a minyan. So I just wanted to clarify that. I had the measurements off and the amounts off a little bit last week, so fine. That's one. Okay. This week, we have to pick up a little bit where we left off last week. Last week, we discussed a few Gemaras about davening with a minyan and the importance of davening with a minyan and exactly, you know, the sources of it. And the sources were from a few Gemaras. I think we had four Gemaras, one that says that davening at the time of a minyan is an ace ratzon. It's in the time of appeasement. Hashem accepts the prayers quicker. Hashem does not despise the prayers of the group of people. If you daven by yourself, the Gemara in Tanya says you have to have complete kavana, complete concentration. But if you daven with a minyan, then it sounds like your tefillahs go to the requirement of kavana is not as great, and your tefillahs go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. And then there was that Gemara in Pesachim, and the Gemara in Brachos, which was something separate, not really talking about davening with a minyan, davening Shmona Esrei with a minyan, but more talking about Tefillah B'Tzibur. Sorry, not Tefillah B'Tzibur, but Davar Shebikdusha. The Davar Shebikdusha, that you need 10 people to say a Davar Shebikdusha, like Baruch Hu, like Kedusha, like Kaddish, and for those things you need 10 men as well. And we ended last week just by mentioning that the Rambam speaks very strongly about it, and the Shulchan Aruch also seems to say that it's important to daven with a minyan. Tonight I'd like to talk about whether it's really a mitzvah or an obligation to daven with a minyan, or maybe it's just a nice thing. Right? The Gemaras didn't exactly say you have to go and daven with a minyan. The Gemara said if you daven with a minyan, all these nice things are going to happen. Right, your tefillahs will be answered, Hashem, not answered, but heard, Hashem accepts your prayers, He doesn't despise your prayers, but nowhere did we find it say that you are required, there is a mitzvah to daven with a minyan. So the question is, why the Gemara leaves that out, whether it's because it's not a mitzvah, there's no real obligation, it just may be an Eitzah Tova, it's good advice, or maybe it really is an obligation. And the debate really revolves around the wording of the Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch codifies this as a halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yishtadel Adam lehispalel v'beis haknesses imatibur. A person should try, he should make an attempt to daven in a shul with the tzibur, with a minyan, and v'chule. But all he says is, you should try. And it's a very funny language. It's a funny way of saying that a person should daven with a minyan. Right? Are you obligated to, or is it you should try to do this? You should try. If you ask me, you should try sounds like it's a nice thing. It's not necessary. You're not obligated, right? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a person should try to put on tefillin every morning. He says you have to put on tefillin every morning. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you should try to daven. You have to daven. But he does say you should try to daven with a minyan. So if you ask me, that sounds like it's not an obligation, but it's a nice thing, it's a good thing to do, and you should try to do it. Nah, not everybody agrees. There are some who agree with this. Rav Zev Pomeranchik, who was a Talmud, I believe, of Rav Chaim Mibrisk, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who is known as a great Lamdin, so in his Sefer called the Emek Bracha, he writes that it's not an obligation. And he says, you see, from the way the Shulchan Aruch codifies this, you should try to daven in the minyan. It's not a real chiyuv, it's not a mitzvah. It's a nice thing to do. And he says, and I have another proof from you. If you recall, the first Gemara that we discussed last week was the story of the two rabbis. One of them didn't show up to shul in the morning. And he said to him, why didn't you come to shul this morning? He said, I wasn't feeling well. And he said, so you should have got a minyan to come to your house. He says, oh, it would have been too hard. He said, well, at least you should have found out the time when they were davening in shul, Shmona Esrei, you should have davened with them. So Rav Pomeranchik explains, if it was really a chiyuv, an obligation, so that rabbi probably would have pushed himself a little bit more to go to shul. If it was really an obligation, he would have pushed himself to get there. He wouldn't have just said, ah, it's a little bit hard, I don't feel so great, I'll call in sick today. And he says, I'm sure he put on tefillin in the morning. So too, if it was a real obligation, I'm sure he would have gotten to shul. That's his position. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. And Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that it is an obligation. It is a mitzvah, he says, to daven with a minyan. And he has a proof from one of the other Gemaras that we discussed. And that is from the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim that discusses whether you have to go backwards, you have to go forwards, how far, much farther forwards do you have to go to catch a minyan, how far backwards do you have to go to catch a minyan. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, listen, if it wasn't a mitzvah, it was just a nice idea, how could we obligate you to travel? If it wasn't a mitzvah, how could we say you have to travel 18 minutes to get to the closest minyan? And only you can only stay home if there's no minyan within 18 minutes. If it wasn't a mitzvah, we might say, listen, it might be a good idea to try to get there. But would we tell you have to travel that 18 minutes to get to this minyan? If it's not a mitzvah, so then there's only so much we can push you. We can't obligate you to travel. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, therefore, it must be that it is a mitzvah. Why is it a mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? So he says that the mitzvah is because of the Gemara that says that Hashem does not despise the prayers of a group of people. And because of the Gemara that says that Hashem always hears the prayers of a group of people, of a tzibur, therefore it becomes like a mitzvah. It's not exactly clear what that means. But he says it becomes a mitzvah, because if you know that there's a way for your tefillahs to get to Hashem easier, or you know there's a way that your tefillahs will be heard, so you have to make them heard. You have to make sure, you have to do all that you can to make sure that Hashem hears your tefillahs. That's the way he explains the mitzvah to daven with the tzibur. There is a third opinion, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, who actually is a relative of my wife, family, they're Fromer, so this is a little bit of mishpacha for me through marriage. But he was what? So Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, in his sefer the Eretz Tzvi, he was known as the Kajig lover. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Lublin after Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro started the Daf Yomi. So after him, the next Rosh Hashiva in Lublin was Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, and he was murdered in the Holocaust, I believe. So he writes in his tshuvas, a lot of his tshuvas are to try to be melamed zechus. He tries to explain why people do things and explain a source for why there is a certain minhag in the world. But in this tshuva he explains that even if there's no obligation to daven with a minyan, and even if there's no mitzvah to daven with a minyan, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, yishtadil, it's a good idea, it's an etzah tova, it's good advice. Nevertheless, he says, nowadays, he thinks it's become an obligation. Because nowadays that we are in such a low level, our generation nowadays is in such a low level, to truly be able to have the kavanas, to truly be able to have the proper concentration to understand every deep meaning behind every word of Shmona Esrei and all of Tefillah, he says, so it became like an obligation to daven with a minyan. Because the Gemara says that if you daven with a minyan, I don't know that you don't have to concentrate, but your concentration doesn't matter as much because the tefillahs will get to Shamayim regardless. When you daven by yourself, the Gemara says you have to have complete concentration in order for the tefillahs to be heard. When you daven with the tzibur, you don't have to have complete concentration for the tefillahs to be heard. And therefore, he says, nowadays that we know that our generation, where we are, is very difficult to say that we can have this high level of concentration like they had in the times of when they understood the deep meaning behind every word of the siddur. So he thinks nowadays it became like an obligation, and he was saying that therefore people should try to get to a minyan.
But couldn't that rationale be extended to the regal, the yom tov? You know, our generation is so decrepit that we can't have the same focus on the yom tov unless we're in Yerushalayim or something like that. I don't know, but you know, that's what he says, that we're at such a level that unless we do an extra step of going to minyan, that our davening the yechidus isn't sufficient.
Not that it's not sufficient, no. He's not saying that you're not fulfilling your obligation of davening. Certainly he's saying you're davening. You're fulfilling your obligation of davening. But when the Gemara says that a person, and again, there are alternate explanations to that Gemara, as we mentioned last week, when the Gemara says that a tefillah, the yachid, needs to have complete concentration, that might mean not by yourself, but a personal request, as opposed to the tefillahs that we have, which are in the plural form. So that is an alternate explanation of that Gemara. But he says, based on that Gemara, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the way for our tefillahs to be heard by Hashem is by davening with the tzibur, or if we can have the perfect kavana, right? The greatest kavana that we can have. So he says that we, realistically, it's very difficult to say that we can have and can understand the deep meaning of the siddur as the Anshei Knesset HaGdola intended when they wrote it. And therefore, to say that he thought that it became like an obligation. It's not quite an obligation, but it's the we should take advantage of it, because that's a sure way of our tefillahs getting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we daven by ourselves, it's a little bit more difficult. Not that that means that we're not davening. Not that that means that if we can't have concentration. And not that that means that if we do daven without a minyan, that our tefillahs are rejected straight out. But to some degree, he thinks it became more of an obligation when, you know, things are a little bit more difficult. Yeah?
Aren't there certain parts of davening that require a minyan?
Yes.
So since we are required to have a minyan to fulfill those mitzvot of davening, can't we just say, all right, so you need a minyan in order to fulfill all the mitzvot of davening that are required?
Right. So that's good. So that's segue into the next point. The next point is, as we mentioned, there's the separate Gemara of Dvarim Shevekdusha. There are certain things, certain parts of davening that can only be said with a minyan. Up until now, when we were discussing Tefillah B'Tzibur, we were really talking about Shmona Esrei. Can you daven? This is davening Shmona Esrei together. When we daven Shmona Esrei together, it has this special koach, this special power to get up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are other parts of davening which, for other reasons, require a minyan. They're called Dvarim Shevekdusha. Things which are of a certain level of holiness, and it's not clear to me exactly what was chosen and why, but there are certain things that we can't say without a minyan. We can't say Baruch Hu without a minyan. We can't say Kaddish without a minyan. We don't have Chazaras Hashatz without a minyan, and we can't say Kedusha without a minyan. So those things can only be done with a minyan. So now, Eric raises the point of, is that a mitzvah? Right? Fine. Let's say, even if we say that davening Shmona Esrei with a minyan is not a mitzvah. And let's say I can do it in my house, I can do it anywhere, it doesn't matter. Right? It's all the same. Davening is davening, it's not an obligation, it's a nice thing to do, but it's not an obligation. But is there an obligation to say Kedusha? Is there an obligation to say Kaddish? Right? Is there a mitzvah? So the Gemara learns out from the pasuk of V'nikdashti. Where's the pasuk? V'nikdashti. I can't find the pasuk right now. But the pasuk says that Hashem says you should sanctify my name in public. You should sanctify my name amongst the das bnei Yisrael. You should basically be mekadesh shem shemayim. You should make kiddush Hashem. And the Gemara explains, what does that mean? It means dvarim shebekdusha need 10 people. So to say Kaddish, to say Kedusha, to say Baruch Hu with 10 people is somehow connected to a Kiddush Hashem. Right? The pasuk learns out that that is a way of sanctifying Hashem's name in public. So the same way we know there's this very special mitzvah of being Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, making a Kiddush Hashem, so somehow, in some form, saying Baruch Hu with a minyan, saying Kedusha with a minyan, saying Kaddish with a minyan, is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Right? So the question is that really a fulfillment of that mitzvah, right? When we think of Kiddush Hashem, we think of the story of Rabbi Akiva giving over his life for Hashem. And we think of the martyrs in the Holocaust who were killed. That was a Kiddush Hashem. Right? They were giving up their lives al pi Kiddush Hashem. So that's what we think of when we think of a Kiddush Hashem. So when we daven in shul and we say Baruch Hu, or we daven in shul and say Kedusha, or we say Kaddish, is that the same thing as giving up our lives al pi Kiddush Hashem?
Public proclamation.
Right. So it seems to be a machlokas rishonim, whether it's a real fulfillment on a Torah level of proclaiming the greatness of Hashem and sanctifying the name of Hashem, in which case it would be a real bona fide mitzvah. Is it an obligation? I'm not sure. Am I fulfilling a mitzvah mideoraisa when I do it? Right? There are certain things that are obligations that I have to do. There are other things that are not obligations, but when I do them, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. Right? There's a mitzvah chiyuvist, which means that there are mitzvahs that I'm obligated to do, and there's a mitzvah kiyumist, which means that there are mitzvahs that when I do them, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. But if I choose not to, I don't have to. So this mitzvah, at best, seems to be a mitzvah kiyumist. Meaning it seems to be a mitzvah that I'm not necessarily obligated to do on a daily basis, but if I do it, I'm certainly fulfilling a mitzvah. The only question that the Rishonim deal with is it a mitzvah on a Torah level of Kiddush Hashem? Like Ari is saying, yeah, you're proclaiming the greatness of Hashem. You're saying, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevorach, blessed is the name of Hashem that he should be blessed. Right? Or Kedusha is saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We're sanctifying the name of Hashem in public, which is an even higher level. Is that a Torah mitzvah? Am I fulfilling a mitzvah according to the Torah of real Kiddush Hashem, the same way a person fulfills it when they give up their lives? I'll be Kiddush Hashem? Or others say, no, it's only in mitzvah midrabanan. Why would this only be a rabbinic fulfillment of the mitzvah, if at all?
Why?
What do you mean?
If it's a mitzvah kiyuma.
Yeah.
Yeah,
probably. The mitzvah midaraisa always has a little bit of a stronger, a higher level of a mitzvah. Meaning Torah law is always something which is a higher level. When there are certain situations, let's say I have a suffix. I'm not sure whether I fulfilled the mitzvah or not. So if it's a Torah law, so I have to be machmir, I have to be strict and I have to do it again. If it's a rabbinic law, so then I can be makil, I can be lenient and I don't have to do it again.
Yeah, but again, these are the kinds of things
right.
That are kiyumis.
So you're saying this is a mitzvah kiyumis, which seems to me, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, and therefore what Chaim's saying is that you don't really need to do it in the first place.
Anyway.
If you do it, great. Right, you're right. You're right. So yeah, for sure. If you do it, great, and you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Are you obligated to do it? I'm not sure.
I guess that's
right. Are you obligated? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not a mitzvah kiyumis. Maybe it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, that there's an obligation. It's hard to say it's a mitzvah chiyuvis because let's say a person is somewhere where they can't get a minyan. Right? So how could they have a mitzvah, an obligation to do this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem Barabim if they can't get a minyan? So unless you say, maybe they're ones, so then it doesn't matter. Right, so I'm not sure. Maybe it is a mitzvah chiyuvis. If it's a mitzvah kiyumis, I think it's still worthwhile to know whether it's mitzvah kiyumis on a Torah level or on a midrabanan level. When we do it, is that real Kiddush Hashem Barabim, like the Torah says, or is it something different? Right, or is it a lower level kiyum of a mitzvah midrabanan of Kiddush Hashem? But you're right. Yeah. Right. It could be. Right. Which is why it would be a mitzvah kiyumis, which means that it's not a real obligation. If I have a group of people together, now it becomes a mitzvah that we can do. It's an obligation on us to now do it. Right. It could be, but there's no obligation on the individual. But if the individual does it and finds a minyan, he's certainly fulfilling some mitzvah.
No chiyuv.
Right. It doesn't seem like there's a chiyuv. The question is there a mitzvah? Right? There's no chiyuv. But let's say, is there any reason, do I have to go to shul? Not have to, but should I go to shul because I have a mitzvah to go to shul? Or is it just, it's a good idea to go to shul? So if it's just to daven with a minyan and to daven Shmon Esrei with 10 people, so it's not so clear whether that's a mitzvah or whether the Gemara is just telling you, here's a good idea, a good way for your tefillahs to go up to Hashem, here's a good way to do it. It's an Eitzah Tova, it's good advice. Right? That's davening Shmon Esrei with a minyan. Now this is something separate of saying Kaddish, of saying Kedusha, of doing this Kiddush Hashem, saying Baruch Hu. So this is a mitzvah. The question is this a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it doesn't seem. It doesn't seem to be a mitzvah chiyuvis. It seems to be, if I'm there, if I can fulfill this mitzvah, and I do, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. I'm just trying to figure out what mitzvah am I fulfilling. Am I fulfilling a Torah mitzvah, or am I fulfilling a rabbinic mitzvah? Right? But you're right. It seems that it could be that only once there is a tzibur, only then can you say there is a mitzvah to do it. Right? Only then can you say maybe there's even an obligation on a tzibur. But if it's just a bunch of individuals, so there's no way to possibly get to the mitzvah because you don't have the minyan.
Well, you have the community, there's an obligation to force people in the community to come to the shul to make sure.
So that's a good question. Whether there's an obligation to force people to come.
You never force someone to do a mitzvah.
We do have times where we force people to do mitzvahs. But there is a Gemara that says that a person who has a shul in his town and doesn't go is called a bad neighbor.
Yeah.
Right, so the question is what that means. No, so the question is what does that mean, a bad neighbor? So some would say that that means a bad neighbor to Hashem. Because by you not going to shul and preventing there to be a minyan, so when there's a minyan, the Shechina comes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and dwells amongst those people, and you bring the Shechina, you're bringing Hashem's presence to the town. So if you don't go, you're a bad neighbor, meaning to Hashem, because you're not inviting him to your town. Others say it means you're a bad neighbor to other people. I saw an interesting explanation from Rav Soloveitchik that I think the way I read it was he went to an orchestra and he saw the orchestra playing and he was very taken by the guy who hit the cymbals like twice, or the triangle, you know, the guy who hits the triangle like once or twice the entire show. And he asked afterwards, you know, does that guy make the same salary as the guy on the the violin who's working up and schwitzing the whole time. You know, this guy standing there with a triangle and knocking three times, and the guy on the violin is going, so does he make the same salary? And he was told, apparently, that yeah, they get the same salary. So he said at that point he understood that the reason why they get the same salary is because the whole orchestra would not be complete without that guy hitting that triangle three times. The music of the orchestra would not be as good. The violinist, as hard as he worked, his work would be incomplete without the guy in the triangle hitting the triangle three times. So he said, now I understand the Gemara in Brachos that says that if you don't go to shul and you have a shul in town, you're called a bad neighbor. Because you're not bringing Hashem's presence. There could be a very big minyan. But without your tefillah, there's something missing in this orchestra of a community. And the entire community's tefillah is not as great. It's missing something if you're not there. The same way if you take away the triangle guy, there's something missing to this orchestra. So too, without a member of this community, you're taking something away from the greater tefillah of the community. So it's just an interesting...
I guess you would call it a communal tefillah to have a minyan.
To have a minyan, yeah. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that you force people to build a shul and to make a place, to make a shul.
Are there other mitzvahs that you can think of in that category?
Mikvah,
which are communal obligations.
Yeah. I was thinking more along burying the dead. That like communal
obligation. No, I mean it's different. I don't know exactly what it, you know.
Well, how would you categorize a communal obligation?
Right. I mean, it's hard to exactly know
like
what they mean that you can
helping the poor with a communal obligation. Helping.
Possible. It's possible. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question.
Are individuals.
What in? Mitzvah.
Well,
usually, right.
Are
so there's a whole discussion about Kriyas HaTorah, whether Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah on every individual or whether it's a mitzvah on the entire tzibur as a whole. that maybe kriyas the Torah, reading the Torah, is a tzibur chiyuv. That there's only an obligation if there is a tzibur. Right? Similar to what we're saying now a little bit with Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, that it could be it's not an individual's mitzvah, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah, but it's only an obligation on a tzibur that exists. Right? It's a little different than the shul, than building a shul. But yeah, I don't know, it's a good question. Good question.
If you're in a place where there's no minyan, are you required to lane by yourself?
No. So you wouldn't have laning. You only have laning also, you need 10 people. You need 10 people. The question is why? Is that because only it's an obligation which is only on a tzibur? Or is it that you, it's like a davar shebikdusha, that you can only do it with 10 people? Right? Is it that every individual is obligated, but he can only fulfill it with 10 people? Or is it there's only an obligation once you have 10 people? Right? So that's two different ways of looking at Kriyas HaTorah.
Is it something with that Beit Din can only force you to do a mitzvah if the reason's not given in the Torah, but Beit Din can't force you to do something if the reason is given in the Torah?
I'm not sure. Thing in general.
Yeah, if there's like a mitzvah that's in the Torah, like I don't know, probably like Shiluach HaKan or something,
right,
that like Beit Din can't force you to do that.
Because
so like,
the reward is written there.
Yeah. So is there something?
Could be. I'm not sure. I don't know. It might be. It might be connected to whether Schar B'Tzido, Nita Schar B'Tzido, or something that the reward is written next to the mitzvah.
Somebody who says Kaddish.
Yeah.
Is that a chiyuv on, you know, is it a chiyuv for a person to say Kaddish, you know, at every, you know, because that more falls into the category if that's, you know, if that's the chiyuv on the individual, but at the same time he needs a minyan in order to, you know,
saying Kaddish is not really an obligation. It's a good idea. It's gemilas chesed. It's more of a kindness that a relative does for the departed, because there's a gemara I think or a midrashim that talk about the power that kaddish and also davening, meaning being a chazan, has on the soul of the departed. That it raises him up out him or her out of different levels of gehenna and pushes them higher up in olam haba. But it's not that there's an obligation. A person doesn't have to say Kaddish, but not to say Kaddish is doing this person's relative a disservice. Meaning you're doing him a favor by saying Kaddish. But it's not an obligation. There's no obligation to say Kaddish, but it's certainly a good idea. And there are stories, a whole long medrash about the power that Kaddish can have. And he was burning in Gehenna, and he got him to say Kaddish one time, and he was much happier. So if we say it every time, all the time, it's much better. But yeah. Okay. So what we've seen, basically, is that it's not clear whether there's a mitzvah/obligation to daven b'tzibur, right? If you do daven b'tzibur, what we know for sure is that your tefillahs, your prayers are more readily heard by Hashem. We know that there's possibly a fulfillment of a mitzvah of davening with a tzibur, like Rav Moshe Feinstein said, and we know that you're definitely fulfilling some type of mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Whether that Kiddush Hashem is midrabanan, whether it's rabbinic, that, or whether it's from the Torah, regardless, you're fulfilling some level of mitzvah when you daven with a minyan, because you didn't have the chance to say all the things that you can only say with a minyan, right? The Baruch Hu and the Kedusha and the Kaddish, all the things that you can only do when you have a minyan. So you get that mitzvah of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Barabim, of sanctifying the name of Hashem in public. So you certainly get that mitzvah, whether it's Torah law or rabbinic law is up for debate amongst the Rishonim, but it's certainly a fulfillment of a mitzvah. There is a question, and this does come up, as to how many people need to be obligated in this tzibur. For example, you have a group of people who didn't daven, and they want to daven, right? But they don't have 10. let's say seven or eight people, you have seven or eight people who are waiting to get a minyan, and you can't get a minyan. So they call a few people who they know may have davened whatever they're davening, let's say mincha, and they know that they davened mincha already. So they call them, they say, can you just stand in? Right? We have eight, we need two. Can you just stand in and listen so that we can daven? Right? So you have eight people who didn't daven yet. You have two people who davened already. Right? So when these eight people daven, are they davening a tefillah b'tzibur? Are they davening like they're davening Shmoneh Esrei with a minyan, and they get all these gemaras that say your tefillahs are heard, and they go off straight to Shamayim? Or are they like individuals? And then a separate question is, can they say Kaddish? Can they say Kedusha? Can they say Chazer Hashat? Right? You have eight people who davened and two people who didn't daven. So what do you think? Is it tefillah b'tzibur, one? And two, can they say Kedusha? Can they say Kaddish? Right? Two separate things.
You know, those specific people? Or
you have eight people who didn't daven. You have,
are you asking if the minyan as a whole, or if those, let's say, two specific people who have already davened can do those things?
No, the two people who davened are just
standing there.
They're standing there. They davened already with a minyan. They're not going to daven another Shmoneh Esrei.
Right.
So why are they there?
Well, they're going to say certain things.
They're going to say certain things, but they're not going to damage Shmoneh Esrei. They'll sit there and...
So they have to answer to those things.
To those things, right. So for the Davar Shebikdusha. So you're saying for sure they can say Kaddish, they can say Kedusha, and they need these two guys to sit in for that. When these eight guys daven Shmoneh Esrei, are they davening Shmoneh Esrei as individuals, and therefore they have to make sure they concentrate very hard? Or are they davening Shmoneh Esrei as a tzibur, because, hey, there are 10 people here. There are only eight of us are davening Shmoneh Esrei, but there are 10 people here. So do we say that's like they're davening with a tzibur?
I think it's not... I don't think it adds up that way. It's not that the other eight people are going to think, hey, these two guys aren't davening, we really have to step up our game, so to speak, to cover for these two people. It's the fact that that they're there, they become part of the unit, so to speak, so that... all the tefillahs together, it counts as if it's a pooled tefillah. Like you said, I'm sure some of the, even in any given minyan, there are some tefillahs that have more kavana and more kedusha than others. So it's the amount of the number that, as you said before, that sort of forces the tefillahs to be better heard, that some the better is compensated to some of the weaker ones, things along the line. So I think people just go do whatever it is that they do, and it's just all rolled in together.
You're saying so they become a group.
Yeah.
But you can only become a group if they're at least a minion.
Absolutely.
So you're saying this is considered a minion because you have these two guys standing there, you have your 10 people.
Even though
they're not davening.
Because otherwise you couldn't have a tefillah to begin with.
No, so again, there are two separate things. There one thing is davening Shmoneh Esrei with a tzibur, tefillah b'tzibur.
Right.
And then the second thing is Dvarim Shebekdusha, like Kaddish and Kedusha, which need a minion. Right? Those are two separate.
But it's all sort
it's all together.
The same thing.
Fine.
I mean, you're not going to stand there davening Shmoneh Esrei by yourself and consider it an individual. You're davening Yechidus when there are nine other people around you, just because two of them aren't davening. You say, hey, the same reason why we waited for them to make Barfu to have them answer, you're davening with a minion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, Rabbi, you can't count on the group of 10 people. That all 10 are
davening.
I mean,
right.
They're commercial. I mean, 10 people, so let's say 10 people, all 10 of them, none of them davened already, but one gets a little bit dreamy in the middle of it, makes a phone call, thinks about something else.
Well,
let's just talk about Shmoneh Esrei. Just Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, let's just focus on Shmoneh Esrei.
Shmoneh Esrei, he gets dreamy.
Right. But he's still davening.
He's not really focused on it. He's thinking about something else.
But he's saying the word.
Do you have to stop? Wait. You have a better one. The guy zips through Shmoneh Esrei
right.
2 seconds flat, right?
Yeah.
Don't. Everybody else is davening, and he's you're barely past Atal Kadosh and you're taking a step back.
Right.
But
you all said it together. You all started together.
That was the first key word.
Now, another question is if you have any people you find too irreligious,
right.
I think for this case, the guys in the room.
Yeah.
I think they should be counted as davening with a minion. You should count. They should count it as your mitzvah, assuming those people have the intention of, I want to be counted towards this minyan, I want their tefillos to be counted towards the tzibur.
Right, okay.
I know so that's the way it works out. But
no, so it is a machlokas. Uh-huh. It's a machlokas whether everybody agrees that you can have, if you have at least six people who haven't davened yet, you can have four people stand in to answer Baruch Hu, to say Kaddish, to say Kedusha, and all those things. Meaning, the Dvarim Shem Kedusha piece, that depends on whether you have six people who are obligated. As long as you have six people who are obligated to do these, and they haven't done them yet today, so you can have four people come and stand in, even if they davened already. They davened Marav already. They can come and sit in to answer Baruch Hu, and we can say Baruch Hu together, because we have 10 people here. Right? The question, the machlokas is, whether when we have four people who daven mincha already, and the six people who didn't daven mincha are davening their Shmona Esrei, is that considered like tefillah b'tzibur or not? And again, whether that's tefillah b'tzibur, and we'll assume that what tefillah b'tzibur means is you have 10 people davening together. 10 people davening Shmona Esrei together, which probably means they start Shmona Esrei together. And we'll assume that means that once we start a Shmona Esrei together, this tefillah that I am davening, even if I daven for longer than everybody else, my entire Shmona Esrei, this Shmona Esrei is in the elevator of tefillah b'tzibur. Right? Tefillah b'tzibur is like that elevator that brings the tefillahs up to Hashem. So once you get in, you're in. You can stay on longer, you can stay on shorter, it doesn't matter. Once you're in, and you have 10 people davening Shmona Esrei at the same time, starting Shmona Esrei at the same time, you're in the elevator, you're all davening tefillah b'tzibur. But what if there are only six people who are actually davening because four of them already davened? So some say, based on a Rambam, but some say that it's considered tefillah b'tzibur, that like everybody's saying, once we're all here together and I'm standing in to answer your Kaddish and answer your Kedusha, so then since most of the people in this room, six out of the ten at least, in this room are obligated to daven Shmona Esrei now, and are davening Shmona Esrei now, it becomes like tefillah b'tzibur, and it's as if we have all of these milos, all of these great things that the Gemara tells us about tefillah b'tzibur, that it's quickly, Hashem doesn't despise it, Hashem accepts it, it's true even though only six of us are actually davening.
Well, you also see, I've seen it happen tons of times, where you'll bring people in to help make a minyan, and then while they're davening Shmona Esrei, one of those people will just walk out of the room. Does it break apart?
No, because again, once you started and you're all together in the beginning, that Shmona Esrei is now tefillah b'tzibur.
And if someone wasn't caught up, what if they're behind, they didn't start Shmona Esrei with you?
Then probably not.
So you need to have everyone start.
Well, it depends. If you say that somebody who's not davening at all can be counted.
No, because you can have six people who are up to Shmona Esrei and four people already daven, but they have the intention that I want the Shmona Esrei, I'm on the elevator together with them. But you could also have 10 people, 9 are up to Shmona Esrei, one person came late, and he doesn't have any intention. He's in the middle of Shema. He's not paying attention at all.
Okay, could be. Right. Good question. So hold on. The reason why the svara that's given as to why this would be considered tefillah b'tzibur is because of the principle of rubo kekulo, right? We have a general principle in halacha that most of something is considered like all of something, right? Rubo kekulo. If you have 51%, it's as if it's all done. So as long as you have most of a minyan, 60%, 6 out of the 10, who are obligated and who are davening, it's as if there are 10 people davening here. Right? That's the basis of this opinion. The other opinion, and this other opinion is that of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he thinks that while it's good, if you have 8 people, 6 people, and you have to have 4 people stand in, it's good because that allows you to now say Chazar Shashat and have Kedusha and say Kaddish for all those Dvarim Shebikdusha, but it doesn't give you this special level of Shmona Esrei of Tefillah B'tzibur. Because even though with all of their good intentions of saying, I'm standing here and I want to get on the elevator with you and I want this to be Tefillah B'tzibur, Lamaisa, he says, they're not davening. Right? And Tefillah B'tzibur means there is a quorum of men, 10 men, davening Shmona Esrei together. When it comes to an obligation of the tzibur, he says, When it comes to a davar shebekdusha, kaddish, barchu, kedusha, which is an obligation on this group of 10 people, we can say, well, if most of these people, rubo kekulo, if most of them are obligated in the mitzvah, so good, that obligation can now spread out on the entire tzibur. But when it comes to tefillah b'tzibur, which is davening Shmona Esrei, 10 men davening Shmona Esrei together, to give you these special milos, these special attributes that the Gemara says, and Hashem doesn't despise it, and Hashem listens to it all the time. So to get that, you actually need 10 people davening at the same time, he says.
Yeah, but you keep saying Kaddish. I don't understand how Kaddish fits with the rest of us. Because if you have, you know, you don't have 10 people starting Kaddish at the same time.
No. Right.
So
no,
you have
two separate things. On the one hand, you have Baruchu, Kaddish, Kedusha.
Right. But I'm saying Baruchu, Kaddish doesn't fit with the rest of them.
Why not?
Because you have...
You need 10 people to be there.
To be there.
To be there,
right.
And to answer.
To answer
the same
what?
Thing for Baruchu.
To answer
Kaddish.
To answer Amen.
Answer Amen.
You don't have 10 people answering Amen.
No, but you need 10 people, and then of those people answering.
But you might have 0 people answering.
You might have. It's a shiloh what you do. If you have 10 people saying Kaddish, what you do if nobody's there to answer?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like a minion of Kohanim.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you have a minion of Kohanim on Yontif and everybody's duchening?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what do you do?
You send up one, no?
Right, okay, right. So the same would probably, I don't know what you do about Kaddish, but it's the same shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if there are 10 people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are some who say, yeah. It seems from the halacha, from the strict halacha, it seems like only one person was to be saying Kaddish at the same time. And in some communities, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
They have one person saying Kaddish, and everybody else just listens. And they split up the Kaddishes. The same way we split up who davens,
mm-hmm.
they split up the Kaddishes. Mm-hmm. Right? We assume somebody in Shloshim has precedence over somebody in the year, so therefore he davens, he leads davening. So in those communities, that's the guy who says Kaddish. So Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruchu, those are all, you need 10 people there. And the svara seems to be, once you have 10 people, and the Shechina is here, now all of us can say this Davar Shebekdusha, right, whatever it is. When it comes to Tefillah B'Tzibur, which is Davening Shmona Esrei, 10 men Davening Shmona Esrei together, so Rav Moshe Feinstein says you actually need 10 men Davening Shmona Esrei.
Why is the Shmona Esrei a Davar Shebekdusha?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. Chazar Shashatz might be, not really, but you need a minion for Chazar Shashatz.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why Baruchu, Kaddish, and Kedusha are singled out as the Dvarim Shebekdusha and Kriyas HaTorah.
And Shema, you're supposed to say also, if you've said already.
Shema is, yeah, but that's for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
But Shema is not a Dvarim Shebekdusha.
Okay, but...
So it's hard to understand exactly why some things are and why something... Shema is the holiest thing we do.
But even if it's
right?
Not a Dvarim Shebekdusha, we could have obligated them to say Shmona Esrei again. Now everyone's saying Shmona Esrei together, just like we do with Shema and Aleinu and Mosey, and it could have been one
right.
Of those things.
We could
and
have.
And then we would have eliminated this problem.
But we did.
Okay.
So it's not a problem. Again, if the whole idea of Tefillah B'Tzibur is just that, this is a great idea, right? Hashem is giving you His guarantee. If you daven Shmona Esrei at the same time as 10 other people, I'm going to get it. Right? Guaranteed, no questions asked. So, what does that mean? Does that mean in a room with 10 people, where 6 of them are obligated, so you can say Rubo Kekulo, and now it's as if all of us are davening? Or does that mean actually you need 10 people davening? So Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that there is a distinction between davening Shmona Esrei with a tzibur, tefillah b'tzibur, as opposed to davar shebekdusha, answering davar shebekdusha. He says when it comes to the obligation of davar shebekdusha, you can say this halachic concept of rubo kekulo, that once there's an obligation on most of this group, 6 out of 10, the obligation can spread out onto the entire tzibur and say now everybody's obligated. But when it comes to tefillah b'tzibur, it has nothing to do with obligation or not. Maybe it's a mitzvah if you do it, but there's no obligation that I can say, well, since I'm obligated, you who davened already, you're going to be obligated, and it's as if rubo kekulo. He doesn't think that fits, that halacha concept fits in this situation. He says, when it comes to tefillah b'tzibur, it means you need 10 people davening together. You need 10 people davening Shmona Esrei together. Now, the whole thing together, part of it together, it seems from most of the halachic writings is that it means you need to start together, right? Basically. Or at least be davening at the same time. There has to be some overlap of these 10 people davening together. Once you have that overlap of 10 people davening Shmona Esrei together, you get Hashem's guarantee. This tefillah is going straight up to Shammai. Yeah.
Okay,
right.
So in our example, you have 8, right? You call up 2 more people who have already davened and come in. So you're permitted to say Kaddish and Kedusha, Chazar Shashash,
But the eight people, the two others, they're not going to not obligated to daven mitzvah again. So
right.
The eight are saying
Shmona Esrei
as individuals.
Basically, right. That according to Moshe Feinstein.
Right. So they're you know going back to our last week with the three different levels of davening.
Yeah.
They don't have tefillah b'minyan.
Right.
Or tzibur, or
right.
Say.
For
so
sure.
They
don't have tefillah b'tzibur. What they do have is an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem Barabbim. Right? They have the opportunity to fulfill this other mitzvah of being sanctifying the name of Hashem in public by saying Kaddish, by saying Kiddushim, by saying Baruch Hu, if it was Ma'ariv. But yes, they don't have Tefillah B'Tzibur.
Well, wasn't the whole purpose of Chazar Sashas for people who they came late or they didn't know how to daven? So they're being a part of the Shmoneh Esrei. So now you have these two people, they didn't say Shmoneh Esrei with you, but as a part of Chazar Sashas, they're listening to it, they're saying Kedusha with you. Why isn't that considered the Tefillah B'Tzibur?
No, because the Tefillah B'Tzibur is my personal Tefillah B'Tzibur. Meaning, when I daven, my personal Tefillah, is that a Tefillah B'Tzibur? He'll say Chazar Sashas, and everybody will have to say Amen.
So if I, in the olden days, I didn't know how to daven, I would come and I would hear Chazar Sashas, wasn't I fulfilling the mitzvah of davening?
Yes.
So then
he was fulfilling.
So these people also fulfilling the mitzvah of davening.
Yes,
here,
but when you davened your Shmoneh Esrei, when these eight individuals davened your Shmoneh Esrei, that's an individual Shmoneh Esrei. And then when they're listening to Tefillah B'Tzibur, they're now fulfilling an obligation of Shmoneh Esrei already. They did.
Maybe they should have skipped it. So now it's better. They're fulfilling just here Chazar Sashas. Everyone's fulfilling the mitzvah of Shmoneh Esrei together, and you're all on the elevator.
Right, that would be better, but we're worried that people can't concentrate the whole time during Chazar Sashas, and you have to have Kavanah the entire time if you want him to fulfill your mitzvah for you. But you're right, that would have been a better way of fulfilling a Tefillah B'Tzibur. That's the case. The Rambam says, if you have six people and you have the Chazan davening for everybody, you can grab four guys in from the hallway and they can join you even if they davened already. And that's Tefillah B'Tzibur. Because like you're saying, that's Tefillah B'Tzibur. But when we're all davening as individuals, it's only if, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's only if there are 10 of us davening Shmoneh Esrei that our individual Shmoneh Esrei become Tefillah B'Tzibur. If there are 8 people davening Shmoneh Esrei and 2 people who already davened, but they were kind enough to sit in on this minyan so that we'd be able to say the Dvarim Shebekdusha and be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and do this Kiddush Hashem of Kedusha and Kaddish, so that will help you say Kaddish and Kedusha, Moshe says, but it won't help your Tefillah B'Tzibur, that your individual Shmoneh Esrei.
Okay,
yes,
if you could just help me understand this point. In the morning I davened the young Israel, and some people are ahead, and they will not start Shmoneh Esrei until there's the Chazan, and along with 5 other people that are about to begin. And then, even though the majority has not yet even gotten up to, and they start the establishment.
Right.
So my question to you is now I'm ready.
Your
to
question,
daven.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm ready to daven the Shmoneh Esrei.
Yeah.
And let's say you know I myself or 2 or 3 other people, am I davening then? Am I in the elevator per se? What you're talking about?
With and they're still davening?
No, they finished it.
They're done. You're now davening.
And with other people less than the 6.
You're davening with 4 people at the same time.
No, correct. Right.
You're davening with 4 people, and they're already saying Kedusha.
No. Let's say we did Kedusha already.
You did Kedusha already.
Right.
So it's the same question of let's say you come late, right? Let's say you were to come late. There was a minion, they davened 10 people. Right, not 6, but they had 10 people. They dive in Shmoneh Esrei, and you come late, and you missed Shmoneh Esrei, right? And now you're catching up. And it happens to be there are 3 other guys, 4 other guys catching up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you should probably not feel a bit Tzibur.
It's not in the elevator.
I don't think so, because you're davening by yourself. I think.
So really then you have to stop and...
I don't know, anybody else have a...
How is it running late? Can you...
Huh?
It sounds
like you missed it.
Yeah, we have the situation.
Sounds like you missed the elevator.
It sounds like voice for emotion. They shouldn't be diving anyway with 6 people.
It's still good. You're davening in shul. Right, so we said there were a few different levels last week, davening with a minion in shul, davening in shul, davening... Yeah, listen, all of this is like extra credit, right? It's all...
It's on the escalator.
It could be.
Yeah.
It might. Yeah. It's something.
It's something.
It's not. No, it's not clear whether it's actually considered tefillah b'tzibur or just better than davening by yourself, but not quite davening with a tzibur. It's different opinions.
But he said it was chazar shat originally meant for people to daven with chazar shat.
Well, not to daven along, but to listen and fulfill my obligation with the chazar shat.
So, according to Rav Moshe, like one example, the six people shouldn't have started Shemone Esrei with only six people.
Of course, Rav Moshe, right.
Uh-huh.
It actually happened once that one of the rabbis in school, he said he was at, Minyan, it was time, for them to daven and all. So there were nine guys, and there was one guy that was learning there, and so they wanted to start. And there was one guy that said, we should wait a couple of minutes so we could get to feel the seaboard. And so they had an argument of, should we wait a couple of minutes or not? And I think what ended up happening, someone walked in the meantime.
Yeah. So that's the machlokas for Moshe Feinstein and others, whether it would have been considered tefillah b'tzibur with nine guys davening and that one guy sitting there.
Earlier we noticed if you wait, not to have a meeting after certain.
Right, you can't always wait.
Also, Rabbi, I do know that whatever point I'm up to in davening, I can pause as long as I'm in a spot that I can pause and not the Shema, and then join the Shemon Esrei.
You can pause and bounce
back. That's a different
question.
I'm just
saying, it's another thing.
Right, it's something else. Right, that's another question.
Which for some reason I don't know why they don't do it. Well, it seems to be going on. They just won the six, and then they stop.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, that's it. Time's up, right? Is that one?